Into the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. In these Advent Sundays, these Sundays in which we prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for the great celebration that will take place this week, we have been looking with eyes of faith, asking God to help us to have an understanding of the Christmas story. That is the story that we find in God's Word, that wondrous story of Jesus Christ, God in new flesh, who came to dwell among us. So we've looked at a number of aspects of that great story. And I want to bring you this morning to another part of that story that you're very familiar with. We've already been singing about it this morning. And that's the story of the wise men, sometimes known as the Magi, sometimes known as the three kings. Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, and then we'll ask God to open this passage to us this morning. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where this Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Can you imagine Christmas without light? Can't imagine Christmas without light, can we? We understand that the central symbol of Christmas is light. We decorate our homes and our communities with light. We light candles. Even in non-Christian, even in secular circles, light is kind of the ultimate symbol. And that is absolutely right. Light goes to the very heart of understanding the Christmas story. About 600 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that a light would shine upon the people. In Luke, we see Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, as you know, would be the final prophet to announce the coming of the Messiah. And he would talk about a rising star, a rising sun that would come and shine upon the people. And then if you follow the life of Jesus, you know that Jesus proclaimed to be the light of the world. Christmas is all about light. And this great story that we've just read, this story of the wise men, the Magi, at the center of the story is light. It's the light of a star. I want us to reflect a bit this morning on this star. What do we learn from this star? What can we learn about this star that will help us to prepare our hearts, as it did prepare the hearts of the wise men, for the ultimate celebration, the ultimate worship of our Savior Jesus Christ? On this Advent Sunday, we will note that this light was a directive light, that it was a defining light, and that it was a divine light. The star, obviously, was directive. It was giving directions. I've shared with you before that I love to study, and I've been preaching throughout this Advent season on the various characters of Christmas. And the most intriguing characters are the wise men, the Magi, simply because we know almost nothing about them. We don't know, were they astrologers, were they astronomers, were they magicians, were they philosophers, were they theologians? Who exactly were these guys? And where were they from? Were they from Persia? That's what we generally believe, but it could have been that they were from Babylon or some other area of the world. We don't know much about them. But we do know that somehow they have been influenced by the Old Testament scriptures, what we call the Old Testament scriptures. And because of that influence, they found the baby. They found the Savior. And we note the direction of this star that God gave them to lead them on the way. We note that this star directed them to go the distance. These men may have traveled, we're told, over 1,000 miles. Over a time of possibly 2 years, which I know blows our picture all apart down here with the wise men already at the stable, but probably historically it may have been about 2 years after the birth of Jesus when they finally found him. These men, whoever they were, had the vaguest idea of who or what they were looking for. Can you imagine how many times they must have been tempted to turn back? How many times do you think they said, we've come far enough? This has been going on way too long. I told my wife I'd be a month or two, and here it is 2 years, and I'm still wandering in the wilderness. It's time to call it off. It's time to go home. Do you suppose they ever had those discussions? I feel like probably they did. And yet something was compelling them. Something was pushing them forward to go the distance, to find Jesus. We don't know much about the wise men, but we learn a lot from them, don't we? And one of the things that I see in this is this desire, this unrelenting desire to find and know Jesus. That's the heart of the Advent season, isn't it? In the Advent season, we are saying we want to know Jesus. We want to find Jesus. We want to discover him. We want to be filled with him. We want to be directed by him. We want to commit our hearts, our lives to him. We want to go the distance. So the star directed them to go the distance, and the star directed them in spite of the difficulties. Again, think of the difficulties. To travel 1,000 miles, you didn't jump on the interstate, you didn't jump on the Trans-Canada Highway. But you jumped on a camel. I've never ridden on a camel. How many here have ridden on a camel? Did you guys ride a camel while you were in Israel? All right, I see a couple of people, a few people. I'm told it's not the most comfortable ride in the world. Maybe it is, but 1,000 miles, what could possibly be comfortable, right? They rode camels. Can't even begin to imagine how that must be. They also had to deal with, of course, physical fatigue. As they traveled, they had to deal with bandits and hostile tribes and hostile governments, and clearly uncharted territory. You know, sometimes it's not easy to find Jesus. Did you know that? We imagine that, well, if I have a desire to find Jesus, and that's right and good, it should be easy. But it's not easy. And it's because Jesus dwells in a fallen world. Jesus dwells in a fallen world as he dwells by faith among us through his Holy Spirit. And we will face difficulties and trials and tests along the way in finding him. Whenever I read the story of the wise men, I'm always convicted to ask myself, am I willing to continue to search for him, continue to live for him, continue to know him in the face of tests and trials and difficulties? Am I guilty of following him only when the going is easy, but turning back when the going gets tough? So the star directed them to go the distance. It directed them through the difficulties of finding and knowing Jesus. It was a directive light. But the star was also a defining light. What do I mean by that? The light of the star that would ultimately lead the wise men to Jesus shone a light on Jesus, obviously. But when you read the story, you realize it also shone a light on the hearts of the characters of the story. The light of this star defines the character of some of the people, some of the key players in this story. For example, the light of the star defined religion in the hearts of the religious leaders of the day. The chief priests and teachers of the law is of what they're referred to here in Matthew. These men were able to quote the messianic prophecy of Micah, verses 5 and 6, is a quotation from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. No doubt these chief priests and teachers of the law knew the other 333 prophecies of the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, of the coming Messiah. They were religious. They were studiers of God's Word. They knew what God's Word said. But not one of them found Jesus. Can't miss that about this story, can you? The religious leaders, the chief priests, they knew the words, but it was these wise men from Persia or Babylon or wherever who actually were the ones to find Jesus. It tells us, as Richard pointed out in his story, that it takes more than just knowing about Jesus, but to desire to know Jesus is the heart of Christmas, isn't it? It's not just knowing the words of the Christmas story. It's not just knowing the words of the Christmas carols, but it's knowing the living Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and our friend. So the light shone religion on these guys, but not a relationship. They knew all the words. They didn't know, sadly, they didn't know Jesus. And of course, it defined rebellion in the heart of the secular leaders, King Herod and his people. Judging from King Herod's reaction, they must have at least put some faith in the report of the Magi. In other words, it doesn't seem like they laugh it off, right? It seems like Herod's concerned about this. There's a king born somewhere. We need to find out about this. What's behind this? So they put some credence into what the wise men are telling them, what the chief priests and teachers of the law are saying. And yet they make a choice. Turn their hearts, and turn their minds, and turn their spirits away from him. They sadly choose to not believe in the story of Christmas, in the story, the fact, the truth of Jesus. So this light shone a light, the star shone a light upon the religious leaders, showing their religion but lack of relationship. It showed in the hearts of the secular leaders, like King Herod, an attitude of rebellion. But the light also shone, of course, on the hearts of the Magi, and it showed us their resolve. Despite the skepticism of the religious leaders, despite the veiled threats of King Herod, the wise men were resolute in their search. They refused to be distracted. They refused to be discouraged by the doubters or the opposition. They made a resolve to follow Jesus, to find Jesus through thick and thin. Through the ups and downs, through the good days and the hard days, to find him, to know him, to experience him, and give their hearts to him. Oh, that this Advent season would show that in my life. That I would be resolved. I would be resolute in my pursuit of Jesus. We live, as you well know, in a secular, post-Christian sometimes, it's called age. When we who are determined to follow Jesus feel like we're swimming upstream, that we're a distinct minority, that we're going against the winds of time and culture and the society. Are we resolved to find and follow Jesus? The wise men challenge us on that, don't they? What does the light of the Advent show in my heart? Does it show an empty religion? Does it show rebellion? Or does it show resolve? Follow Jesus. So the star was a directive light, directing them. But the star was also a defining light, defining the hearts of those who are in this wonder story. And finally, of course, the star was a divine light. Now the star was natural, I suppose, in some way. We don't know. Was it actually a star? Was it a comet? Comet, something else? You could read all the books and look at all the various theories on it. But whatever this star was, it was clearly under the supernatural power of the Creator. Because I love this part of the story. It says of the star, it stopped over the place where the child was. Right? That's why I emphasized that when I read it. And you can say, well, it was coincidental, well, it was a comet, well, it was this, well, it was that. But we can't take this out of the story. Somehow it stopped over Bethlehem. Somehow, in some wondrous and supernatural way, one of the things we looked at this Advent is the supernatural aspect of Christmas. That thin place between our world and God's world, where the supernatural and the natural come together. And the supernatural breaks through into our natural world. Well, it certainly does it here. The star stops. It's under divine control. It is shining ultimately a divine light. And for those who chose to accept it as a divine sign, not everyone did. But for those who chose to accept it as a divine sign from God, it was a light of discovery. Another favorite phrase of mine from this story is this: they saw the child. Every time I read that, I try to imagine, you know, that baptized imagination, that holy imagination we talk about. I try to imagine what that moment was like for these men who have been searching for so long, through so much difficulty in testing, through so much uncertainty, and then they finally lay their eyes on their goal, their prize, the Son of God, the Messiah, their Savior. They saw the child, not with natural eyes, but with the eyes of faith and with understanding. Many centuries before, Job, you remember Job back in the Old Testament? Job said of God, "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." I wonder if the magi, the wise men, thought of that verse when they were standing around Jesus. My eyes have heard of you. My ears have heard of you. But now my eyes have seen you. That's what Advent is about. It's about what Christmas is about. We've heard about him. Now by faith we see him. Now by faith, excuse me. Now by faith we understand him. We see into him as he sees into us. It is a light of discovery. It's also a light of dedication. How did they respond? To this wondrous sight, they bowed down and worshipped him. They bowed down and worshipped him. This tells us that our claim of faith is only proven when we're willing to bow down before Christ the Lord. Anyone can claim to believe. But our words can be empty. Jesus said, "There will be many who will say of me, Lord, Lord, and I'll say to them, I did not know you." It's not what we say, is it? But it is how we live our lives. As we surrender, as we bow down to the God of the universe. It was a light of discovery, it was a light of dedication. And of course, we also know it was a light of deliverance. I love how this story ends. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The wise men were supernaturally delivered from Herod. Supernaturally delivered from Herod and his wicked scheme. And when we see Jesus, as they did, through the eyes of humble faith, we too will be delivered. We'll be delivered from the punishment and power of sin because he came to pay the price for our sin on the cross. We'll be delivered from despair because he gives us eternal life and eternal hope. We'll be delivered from discouragement because he gives meaning and purpose to our lives. This light becomes a light of transformation. This light becomes a light of transformation. This Christmas, let's by faith allow the light of the world to direct us to faith, to define true character, and to deliver us from sin and despair. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you took the initiative in providing the star. Lord, like the wise men, we'd never find you if you didn't show us the way. But Father, in this Advent season, we have open hearts and open minds to follow the star as it leads us to you, that we might know you, that we might bow down before you, that we might commit our lives to you, that we might serve you in all that we are and all that we do. Father, open our hearts to the light and transform us by the light, we pray. In Jesus' name.